This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Today's show is the fifth in a series called Creative Obstacles, a series about how our personality can get in the way of our creating. Today, in a show adapted from an essay in my book, A Writer San Francisco, we look at how our psychological defenses get in the way of creating. The show is called Responding Defensively. Let's begin. The Mark Hopkins is a fancy San Francisco hotel at the crest of Nob Hill and the intersection of three cable car lines. At the hotel's summit is a celebrated bar where, during World War II, soldiers would drink before embarking, and soldiers' wives would come to watch their husbands sail off toward Japan. Because of these wives, many of whom would soon become widows, the northwest corner of the room with its views of the Golden Gate Bridge and the Pacific Ocean became known as Weeper's Corner. One afternoon in 1996, it should have been renamed Liar's Corner. I was meeting with Jeremy Tarcher, my publisher, and Irene Prokop, his editor-in-chief. They were in town for some reason, he from Los Angeles, she from New York, and they found time to have drinks and dinner with me. None of us had an agenda. I wasn't trying to sell them a book, and they had no good or bad news to deliver. So it might have been a pleasant few hours, except for all the lies I was telling. I had just signed on to do my fourth book with Tarcher, a book called Lighting the Way, an ambitious book about, well, everything. Don't look for Lighting the Way in bookstores. You won't find it. It was never published. The book's conceit, that it would do the best job ever of explicating human psychology and human meaning, wasn't the problem. The problem was in the execution. I couldn't get my hands around the material, so I busied myself taking illegitimate dodges and shortcuts. Then I lied to myself along the following lines. Hey, maybe nobody will notice. Irene, Jeremy, and I were chatting about one thing and another, and then Irene asked, innocently enough, since she had no suspicions, "How's the book going?" "Great," I replied, "just great." I have never told a bigger lie. I quickly changed the subject. They were none the wiser. We left the top of the Mark and took a cab to a fancy Japanese restaurant where we had an expense account dinner. Some months later, I turned in Lighting the Way. It was awful. And naturally enough, they refused to publish it. It was not even in the kind of shape that would allow anyone at Tarcher's to suggest a feasible rewrite. In another setting, it would have been Ishtar or Heaven's Gate, only never released. Of course writers will turn out clunkers. Some percentage of our books will stink. And sometimes we won't know that we have produced a stinker. What interests me is that defensive attitude, commonly called denial, that allows a writer who knows that his current book is flawed and who has no intention of owning up to that truth to continue writing, month in and month out, throwing bad words after bad. Why do we do that? It is such a waste of our essence, our spirit, our good ideas, our capital. Why do we do it? Since I have done just that with Lighting the Way and with some other books, let me see if I can explain what was going on for me. In each case, part of me actually liked the book, or rather, liked the parts I liked. I was giving the book a pass because of its good parts. Part of me was unsure that anyone would notice, with so many bad books regularly being published. I was giving the book a pass because I felt smug and superior. part of me hoped that at some point I would take the bull by the horns and do a real rewrite. I was giving the book a pass because I felt that I would yet rise to the occasion. Part of me wondered if a miracle might happen, a gestalt miracle, with the proper image suddenly emerging out of a murky background. Part of me was simply going through the motions, carried on by the momentum of getting up, writing the book, and going to bed, robot-like. Part of me didn't know what to do to make the book better, and didn't want to admit that. Most tellingly, part of me just didn't care, one way or the other, and really didn't want to admit that. To summarize, I lied to myself about how miserable Lighting the Way was turning out because I liked its good parts, felt smug and superior, imagined that I would yet rise to the occasion, was hoping for a miracle, was going through the motions, didn't know how to make it better, and didn't care, as in rhymes with despair. Do you ever do such things? Do you ever spend years on a book, trying to ignore its smell? If you've never had this experience, you haven't written enough. Do not leave a good book too soon or a bad book too late. The question naturally becomes, which book is which? Maybe it's impossible to know. You are working on a book, you have your doubts, you have your hopes, and you just can't decide whether to go with hope or to go with doubt. I understand. I find no easy solution wanting to come out of my pen. Maybe the closest I can come is the following: honorably rewrite. It is the honorably that makes the phrase so poignant. I have never gone back to the top of the mark. For me, it remains the scene of the crime. If you are currently lying about the book in front of you, the one you know is dead as a doornail and not worth two figs of your time, I understand. Denial is not just a river in Egypt. It is the way we keep up-to-the-minute news from pounding us like sledgehammer blows. In case you would like to tell yourself the truth and take your medicine, take a deep breath first. A lot of pain will follow, but also a better book, either your current one or the next one.
Listen to Coaching the Life Coach, Business and Marketing Strategies for Growth of Transformational Practices with Jason McLean, your guide in the 21st century marketplace on personallifemedia.com.
Before I go, I wanted to tell you about a great offer from Audible, one of my show's sponsors. You'll definitely want to take advantage of this offer. Audible offers over 40,000 books that you can listen to from your computer, your portable device, or your car. Right now, by taking advantage of this special offer, you can get a free book download that's as much as a $25 value if you sign up for a 2-week trial membership. Audible has excellent creativity selections like the audio version of Corporate Creativity, one of the top books on how innovation really happens in corporations. I love this book and highly recommend it to you. And there are lots of other creativity books to choose from, as well as a wide variety of fiction and nonfiction books. So visit Audible right now. You'll be helping this show and treating yourself in the bargain. Take a minute and go to audiblepodcast.com/create and get your free download. That's audiblepodcast.com/create. Do check out this offer. That concludes today's show. I invite you to come back next week for another episode in the series. To subscribe to The Joy of Living Creatively, please visit personallifemedia.com, where you'll also find my blog. You can drop me an email at eric@personallifemedia.com, and I hope that you'll visit my website to learn more about my books and services. That's ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com. Thank you for listening.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.